Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. There is plenty going on in the world of sports today. Of course, the ruling with the five NHL players and members of the 2018 World Junior Hockey Team all found not guilty. There is a debate going on our text line from Greg saying they should be banned from the NHL. Even though they're not guilty, they showed very poor judgment. And they need to be punished. To those saying, not guilty is not guilty. They should have their jobs back tomorrow. 1-877-332-8255. We want to get a little perspective on that story with our sport business analyst, Tom Mayenek.
Breaking down the business of sports with Tom Mayenek.
The host of the Sport Market, you hear it every weekend, and there's going to be a lot to have on the Sport Market, Tom. But, of course, the breaking news today, it's a topic we've been talking about for a while, is the World Junior Hockey Trial. I'm because you've worked in public relations and sports organizations. You have a long history in being in boardrooms. The question I have is now what for the National Hockey League and for NHL teams now that these five players have been found not guilty?
Well, I think, you know, the important thing is that the process was allowed to unfold, admittedly, with a series of very peculiar events, with the dismissal, the mistrial before that. All of those things, you know, made this a very, very unique set of circumstances, and it amplified the position of the case in the media, and hence in public discourse. I think the key now is, despite the fact that there has been this resolution, which is obviously good news for the players and their families, that doesn't mean that Hockey Canada's job is not to move forward, learn from the experience, make sure that educational programs continue, and any steps are taken to provide safety of, you know, anybody in this kind of a situation. So even though the charges were dropped and the five players were found not guilty, it doesn't mean that it can't be a learning moment, because there's legal issues, and there's also ethical issues and lifestyle issues that I think, you know, can be brought to bear.
Well, what does the NHL do? Like, what is... Or is it not guilty verdict, just they don't have any choice but to go, okay, you're free to sign these guys again?
Well, and that's sort of a different part of this, is what happens with the hockey side of things, what happens with their careers. And that can't be overstated enough, that the public profile of this has taken a big chunk out of what would have been their careers, given their status as world juniors. I think there's not a lot that the NHL can do, except, you know, continue to monitor the transition from junior into professional, make sure that there is education on these kinds of situations. Also, just making sure that because of your profile, players know that they will be subject to significant scrutiny. So it's not as if there's as much work to be done by the NHL as there would have been, and by the CHL, and by Hockey Canada, and by the IIHF, but there still are some learnings, I think, that can be brought to bear, including just the responsibilities of being a professional.
So the NHL is going to have to make a decision on how they move forward. And Jamie and I were just talking about this just before we had you on, Tom. And he was suggesting, Jamie thinks that the NHL is going to have to make a decision right away on how teams can proceed with the players if they are interested in a player. Now, the other side of that is, okay, now this player, let's say the NHL says, okay, you're free to play in September. The teams also have to sit down and have a conversation about how to handle this because of the sort of the exposure that this has had across the country and in the sporting world. How do you think teams, Tom, will handle this? And do you think they're sitting down now in boardrooms and having discussions on what to do, especially, you know, a lot of focus on the Edmonton Oilers. Carter Hart is from that area. They have goaltending issues. They might be a team that would be looking at a player like Carter Hart.
So working backwards from that, I don't think there's any doubt that some, if not multiple, NHL teams will at least have the conversation, and they'll have it at the highest level, not only at the level of presidents of hockey operations and general managers like in Edmonton, but also at the level of the ownership suite. The second thing that comes to mind is these five athletes have been found to be not guilty, and the case did not hold up in the eyes of the judge. There are players who are currently in the National Hockey League who have, if not criminal records, they've certainly been involved in high-profile, let's say, episodes of lack of judgment, and some of them were drafted by NHL teams. So, you know, we have to know that there's a bit of a continuum of situations here, but based on previous experience, if the NHL team believes that the players involved can sustain the PR scrutiny and upholding that as members of their team, I think that you will see some teams providing them with an opportunity. And that's where it's up to the player to also try and take the right approach from a, from a PR point of view, and, try to have the focus on what they've accomplished as hockey players before these alleged incidents and since.
Tom Mainecht with us here on the Green Zone. I'll be honest with everybody. We had a bunch of topics to talk to Tom. I don't even know if we're going to get to those because of all the breaking stories that happened today in
which
the world
is too
of sports.
Bad, because there's a couple of conversations I really wanted to have, especially about that Fox Sports Barstool
and
merger. Yeah.
We might have time for that, but the other debate Locker and I had today with another breaking story was the impact of Hulk Hogan on World Wrestling Entertainment and the WWF. Because the person, Terry Bollea, not a great human being. But the character of Hulk Hogan was, Tom, arguably one of the biggest global superstars for probably the better part of a decade in the early 90s. What do you think about when you think about the importance of Hulk Hogan and what became, you know, the business and a monster business for World Wrestling Entertainment?
Well, you know, there's two sides to that that story, as you've so nicely mapped out. One is the fact that there's a litany of reasons not to necessarily appreciate Hulk Hogan, but from a business point of view, from a WWE point of view, there's a lot to owe him for completely changing the game. And he became a wrestler at an entirely different level. Obviously we've celebrated Ric Flair and others like him, and they've all made this a very enduring proposition. But I'm not so sure that there isn't a wrestler who has done more to, first of all, elevate WWE and wrestling and the entertainment side of wrestling, but cash in for not only himself, but for everybody associated with the organization. He definitely has to be in the conversation of most important business asset of World Wrestling over that period of time. The fact that, you know, he has done some of the things and said some of the things that he has, it only makes it more polarizing, but not necessarily to the detriment from the business side. Because when there's polarity, you've got people talking about it. Everybody's got an opinion, as I'm sure you guys, you know, have reflected on today. So I think the impact will be legendary. You can quibble with the politics, but as a guy who was naturally built to build an aura of stardom, Hulk Hogan was at the top of the charts.
The interesting thing about it, and again, I don't know a lot about it, but wasn't he, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, wasn't he one of the first guys in that community, in the wrestling world, to say, no, I'm going to go do a movie, I'm going to go do a cameo, and he went against the wishes of the organizers, and look what he did. Is he not sort of a trailblazer in that front?
There's absolutely no question, and that's what I was, you know, trying to get at, is that trailblazing thing. You just did it a lot more efficiently than I did. But the bottom line is, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as an example, owes such a big part of his career to the pathway that Hulk Hogan, you know, put in front of him. And that goes to not only other wrestlers, but anyone on the combat side of things. The word of mouth, the social engagement of anybody who's either a boxer, a wrestler, a mixed martial artist. There's strength, there's blood, sweat, and tears. But in the case of wrestling, what really separates it is the interpretive quality of the entertainment. Everybody knows that big chunks of this are staged. When you watched Hulk Hogan, though, you didn't care. You sort of felt ringside with the action, and that pathway that you're talking about will last for generations. In 50 years, people will be talking about Hulk Hogan as a pretty unique business proposition.
Were you a Hulkamaniac, Tom?
You know, I didn't early in his career have anything that made me say, no, I don't want to connect with this guy. But I wouldn't go so far as to say I was a Hulkamania meister, so to speak.
Tom, appreciate time. I know you have a lot of business stories to cover this weekend on the sport market, and we'll wait for the weekend. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
That is Tom Mayenect, the host of the Sport Market. Yeah, we had a bunch of stuff. Blue Jays, NHL partnerships.
But, yeah.
Today's ruling and the Hulk Hogan death, a little more pertinent to the conversation.
EA Sports releasing the first NCAA basketball game.
That's what I said. Tom's going to be busy. There are a lot of sports stories to cover on the Sport Market this weekend. And you hear it right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Thursday. Hey, by the way, if you're in Regina and you want to win a Happy Gilmore Boston jersey, do I have a deal for you? You can hang out with Locker and I tonight. Joanne Goulet Golf Course, the driving range. Meet us there 6:30 to 7:30 tonight. This is tonight. So if you don't have any other plans, it's a nice evening, you want to hang out, we are up against Wheels and Justin from Z99, C95, with a Happy Gilmore driving contest.
So that's the
run up to the ball.
Three, boom!
I don't care how many steps you take. You just have to run up to the ball. But we're having a driving contest. You can take part. Anybody who shows up and takes a swing gets their name registered for the jersey at the Joanne Goulet Golf Course in Regina tonight, 6:30 to 7:30. And
there's a male and a female category, because we got a trophy, yes, for men and a trophy for women.
They are, illustrious trophies. Justin went an extra mile for those trophies.
And you don't have to win the jersey. You just have to be there and get in the draw for the jersey. Yeah.
I don't even think he took the price tag off the jersey, or off the trophies. I think they look like $1.99 is what I think I saw. Like, these are.
I want that trophy.
In terms of retro golf trophies, these are must-gets tonight. So, see you there. 6:30 to 7:30, Joanne Goulet Golf Course in Regina. Driving range is where you'll find us with
Justin. And I got this thing to Wheels. Tell us how far we hit the ball.
Oh, yeah, we did. We're making it a competition with us and the guys on the FM side. Of course we are. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon, as the Rough Riders now know they will face Cody Fajardo on Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. Britton Gray talked to Cody. We'll play some of that tape for you a little later on. Britton Gray is going to be here to preview that game at 5:05. But right now on the Green Zone, we are addressing the verdict today. Finally, it came down. And it was, Locker, it was pretty clear where everything was going at, I think, 8 a.m. Saskatchewan time.
One of her first statements that ended up into the press was about her questioning EM's
credibility.
And immediately, I remember, well, everybody in the newsroom was like, well, it looks like it's going to be not. But then it took a couple of hours for the final verdicts to come down.
She went through the evidence very thoroughly, as judges do. She prepped this, but it was clear from the outset when she said she didn't find EM's testimony to be credible, and the Crown was unable to really reach that point of beyond reasonable doubt, that it was like, okay, but it took until about 1 o'clock this afternoon until the verdicts were actually read. So not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty for the five players from that World Junior team. 1-877-332-8255. So we're asking you on your thoughts on this, because what is now next is these are still 26-year-old, 27-year-old young men. And we've seen pro sports teams after a court case go, okay, now play again. Go ahead. Ray Rice, go ahead. If you can find a Kareem Hunt, go ahead. If you can find a contract. You've gone through the court process. What do you think? So we're asking you, would you want your team to sign one of these players?
It's also happened in the NHL.
Oh, absolutely it has. Yeah. Craig McTavish.
DUI.
They killed a young lady in a car accident when he was in Boston. He served his time. And he was back in the National Hockey League. 1-877-332-8255.
But would you want him on your team? The team you cheer for?
If you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
We're going to go to the phones.
Let's get Dylan Dubé. If you're an Edmonton, your team, already there is speculation. Kevin Weeks brought this up during free agent frenzy. That's why this is a topic. Because some people might say, whoa, this is a little quick to talk about. Carter Hart was brought up on free agent frenzy by NHL insiders saying, I'm hearing the Edmonton Oilers have already kicked it around. If he's not guilty, where their interest is in Carter Hart, that might be where he goes. And Locker, I know you're not a fan of that move.
I'm not a big fan. And I know we want to get to the phones, but I do want to clarify one thing about why this ended up in the courts after we go to the phones. Just don't let me forget to talk about that.
All right. Let's go to David in Melfort. David, what are you thinking when it comes to these five players? Now that it's not guilty, would you care if they're in the National Hockey League?
It wouldn't hurt my feelings if they weren't allowed back in the National Hockey League. Let's put it that way. I think I followed it pretty closely, just reading from Rick Westwood through the trial and stuff, and there was blame to go around to all parties, I think. I don't think these guys deserve jail time, because I think just the way it worked out, it almost seemed like she was, you know, okay with some of the stuff and whatever, even though it's not right what they were doing. I don't think any father wants their son to act like that, or any father wants their daughter to be that done to them. But at the same time, I just want to say this properly here. At the same time, for her to go back with one guy to a hotel room, that happens all the time, no big deal. But when he started calling his buddies there, and if she would have got up and tried to get out of there and say, hey, I didn't sign up for this, I'm out of here, and they prevented her from leaving, then they're guilty. But it almost seemed like she was okay with it for a while.
I don't want to dig too much into the testimony, because it is a lot of detail that have gone through the text line, the text messages and the group chats and everything else in this case, and you can follow it along. And that's why the judge ruled the way they ruled. And not guilty. Remember, not guilty does not mean innocent. Not guilty does not mean they did nothing wrong. It is that the Crown did not have enough evidence, or the witness was not credible enough to get to the beyond reasonable doubt. So when you look at the text lines, David, when those text lines were groups were going through, that's where I was like, oh boy, this does not look good, because it looked like they were trying to cover their bases and everything else. But if the judge was unwilling to trust the testimony, that's what resulted in a not guilty verdict.
Well,
today.
And we're getting a lot of, for lack of a better description, we're getting a lot of people with the gold digger theory. And why is she in the court? She's trying to get more money. If you remember correctly, what ended up happening was it got out that Hockey Canada had a slush fund from fees that they were using to pay victims of sexual assault cases. And it is rumored that she got upwards of, you know, $1 million+. Some speculation that it might even been closer to $3 million to settle out of court.
The settlement's already happened.
Yes.
And that settlement happened already.
But the reason why this ended up back in court wasn't because she was trying to get more money. They started to look into Hockey Canada's organization, and a lot of people lost their jobs. And then, not only that, it worked its way right down into how the London police actually handled this whole thing. That's why this ended up back in court. This has nothing to do with EM. This wasn't the victim trying to get more money out of the hockey players. And again, everybody's going to have their own opinion about what's right or wrong about this case, or whether these kids were guilty or not guilty. But we've followed this quite closely, and that's one thing that I wanted to clarify. This ended up back in court because of an investigation on that slush fund. And when they started turning over stones, they were like, hold on. And people in the London Police Department
lost their jobs
as well because of how this case was handled. So this wasn't the woman thinking, if I pull this string, I'm going to get more money.
They went to the police the next day.
Yes, and that was mishandled.
The next day. This wasn't 5 years later. She's like, let's go to the police. They went to police the next day within.
And if, correct me if I'm wrong, the guy that originally interviewed her lost his or her job immediately. I've read a lot about this case over the last couple of months. And so that's why that ended up.
Well, there was evidence that they had that they didn't even look at in that original investigation.
Mm-hmm. Like they got rid of her clothes and a bunch of other stuff.
1-877-332-8255. But now that it's not guilty, it goes to, the ball jumps over to the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And what do they do? And what do the teams do? Paul, what do you think?
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. It's an unfortunate situation, but at the end of the day, number one, they're found not guilty. So, technically, they should be allowed to play. But I think they ought to be banned. However, if you look at the in sports in general, and no doubt in the NHL, there are guys that have done this and worse from the top down, across sports, everywhere, across society. And society being as it is, and the way we are living, that we should be more discerning about our heroes. But we won't be. By Monday, this will be under the rug, and whatever team needs these guys are going to be all over it. And everybody's going to forget about it. And at the end of the day, they are not guilty. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of the entire situation. Undoubtedly, they did a lot of things that they shouldn't have. You know, that poor girl, whatever happened to her, who knows, really, except for them. But, you know, that's my opinion means nothing, but that's how it's going to be. And so if the Oilers need one of those guys, they're going to get him. And if they win the Stanley Cup with him, you're going to be as happy as if he wasn't there. So that's just how it is.
Well, Paul, it's interesting that you say that. Personally, Paul said, ban, don't want him in the league. But Paul's like me. We have seen so many examples of this. All it is risk and reward. If an NHL team looks at one of these players and says, he can help us win a Stanley Cup, they're not going to.
Well, Deshaun Watson got in his $250,000 car and drove to practice today and hung out And he's rehabbing a second Achilles surgery, and he hung out in a quarterback room with four other guys in Cleveland.
And Deshaun Watson had how many women?
32.
Yeah. About misconduct. That's I've talked about it. There's been video of NFL players kicking their girlfriend in a hotel hallway. They're back in. That I'm just a realist. These players, not all, I don't think all of them. I there's two that were pretty well out of the NHL by the time this all came to a court case anyways, like playing in Europe. Like they'll play in Europe, they'll play in the Russia, they'll do that.
I think you're right about Carter Hart.
I think Carter Hart, Michael McLeod, and Dylan Dubé will get NHL jobs again.
He had the most pedigree, Carter.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
When before this court case happened, we were talking on the Green Zone, who's the next Canadian goaltender to be the Olympic goaltender? Carter Hart,
his name
was our choice.
Yeah.
Before the court case happened, that's where he was. And there's already a lot of people on Twitter going, when are the Edmonton Oilers going to sign Carter Hart? Because they see not guilty and go, have at her. Terry, I think you're kind of along with that. Not guilty, let him play.
Yeah, I certainly am. Yeah, my fear is, you know, malicious prosecution. You know, is this a female with a vendetta can suddenly ruin a guy's life? Like, how fair is that?
I don't know if that's what was happening here, Terry. I don't think that's what this was.
No, I know, but it could come to that. It could easily happen.
And that's fair, right? And as Terry says, not this case in particular, but
he's suggesting it opens up the door for it. So it makes it okay that they get to play again.
You can't set a precedent. It's the precedent you set that if you go to court and you are charged with this, you can never play hockey again, no matter the ruling in court. That's what Terry's speaking to on a precedent, that if you ban these guys for life, that you're going, anybody who's charged with sexual assault, now they are out, no matter what the court says. And that's, is that the world you want to live in?
But I'm not sure that's how the NHL would handle every situation.
They're doing their own investigation.
Exactly. Hockey Canada looked into this, and Hockey Canada paid her a lot of money. They didn't pay her a lot of money because they thought the guys were just good old-fashioned boys, good Canadian boys, and you know what? Don't worry about it.
No, they saw the evidence,
and some
of us saw the evidence and went, ah.
We need to bury this and keep this out of court, and we're going to pay this to go. That's what happened. So, there's a certain amount of guilt that comes with writing a check to somebody for something to go away. And again, I know it's not the guilty verdict that I thought was going to happen in this case, but what I read, the text message, the exchange with the other players, the video, the one that bothered me the most, I'll tell you, is the consent, the consent video they were trying to get out of her. That one was like, oh man, these kids are going to jail. When I saw that, I was like,
there were days when I was going, no, they're off.
We were going
back and forth. Not guilty. Then I was like, ooh, those text messages, those don't look good. And that's what the NHL's going to do. They're going to look through that evidence too, and they might come up with the same result of Hockey Canada did and go, it's going to be a suspension. I think they're going to be suspended, but it's how long they're going to be suspended for. And could it be a year? Could it be half a season? 1-877-332-8255. See, it's mixed. Hockey fans are torn on this.
Yeah.
Some are saying they're probably going to play, but I don't want them to play. Some are saying, nope, don't let them back in. And others are saying, it's not guilty. You got to let them play. And I have no issue if they're a Calgary Flame tomorrow. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.